when it comes to fall camp. So I think things picked up a little bit when it comes to Tennessee today and how they're progressing into the 2018 football season. So overall, I'd say it's a darn decent day, and congratulations to them on a – I think they're wrapping up down in Atlanta, probably another hour, and then Nick Saban – actually, I think Saban takes the stage, the podium here in like 20 minutes. So, man, a lot of just interesting content. Today on the show, we're at 1:40. We're going to have David Cloninger. He covers South Carolina. Want to get him on for a minute, talk about Jake Bentley and the Gamecocks and Will Muschamp. And at 2:05, we're going to talk to 940 ESPN Fresno, California host, my buddy Christopher Gabriel. Come on and talk about Tennessee a little bit. What's it like being on the West Coast, covering sports, wanting to talk SEC all the time, but he's got Pac-12 football and Fresno State football to talk about. So I'm excited to have him on. He'll be talking good friend. He'll be a good friend to the station. So it should be good. Jason, what's up, buddy?
Not much. Not a busy news day at all, huh?
No, there's nothing going on. You know, let's just get out of here for the day. No,
it's just call it quits now. It's nothing to talk about.
I'd like to congratulate you for a pizza joint that has retweeted you.
Did they retweet us?
Yeah, they did.
Cut the check. I'll say your name when you do that. So,
congratulations.
Might have to make a trip over there today after
the
show.
So I'm going to ask the question to you, and I'd like to get your comments about it, and then we'll talk about it. What's up with everybody from Georgia wanting to I don't know if it's troll or kind of call out Jeremy Pruitt. I don't quite get why you are now coming out and saying something.
Jilted ex, I guess.
But okay, we're talking about David Pollack, too, who came out and praised him in a tweet.
Exactly, and who's supposed to be an impartial journalist.
And Greg McElroy. And who's Aaron Murray?
Yeah, but Greg McElroy really doesn't have a dog in that fight to defend Georgia. I mean, I guess it's the same thing because he went to a school that's Tennessee's rival and played under a Jeremy Pruitt-coached team, but I don't know. It just reeks of an ex-Georgia player, and maybe there is some truth to it because I don't understand why he, you know, would make this up. If, you know, he's obviously a Mark Richt guy, David Pollack. He played under Mark Richt and all that, and for him to, I mean, Brendan, with these claims that he's making, I would say there has to be some truth to something, that there was a drift, but like Trey said, when Tennessee hired Jeremy Pruitt, he had nothing but good things to say about him.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, just looking at what Pollack said and everything, like, sounds like he didn't have the best relationship, Pruitt, that is, with Mark Richt.
Right.
And they're just, every player that ever played for Mark Richt seems to love him.
And the thing is, David Pollack was a linebacker, so he would have more, you know, interaction with Jeremy Pruitt than Greg McElroy would have at Alabama.
Right.
But get over it. Like, you're a media figure on ESPN now. How am I? Okay.
It's a little bit different than Aaron Murray's station is a Georgia station, correct?
No.
He works
for CBS.
Well, I know he works for CBS. Oh, he was talking to, what was
he
the station?
He was talking to 102.5, the game out of Nashville.
Oh, 102.5 in Nashville?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I don't know, maybe because they know that the fan base there is predominantly Tennessee and some Vanderbilt that they have to get a good quote in. I didn't know it was that 102.5. I know 102.5 is like on,
yeah, but
the,
he's made these statements, and then Hudson Mason came out. If you don't remember Hudson Mason, he took like 3 snaps at Georgia.
He was his backup, was he not?
Right. Yeah. He comes out, makes a comment, and then David Pollack comes out. Here's my point about this. When ESPN game day maybe rolls around, let's say Tennessee's undefeated, Florida's undefeated. It ain't going to happen, but I'm just throwing it out there.
It could.
Whatever. If game day comes to town for Florida, Tennessee, okay? Just throwing it out there. How am I supposed to take David Pollack seriously covering Tennessee when he's out here bashing the head coach? How are Tennessee fans supposed to take him seriously?
Tennessee fans aren't going to take it well. The ones who are going to line up at 5 in the morning with their signs are going to be brutal to him.
It's not even about even just bashing a head coach or talking about. You're not bringing context to your statement.
And you're bringing out stuff that should be handled behind closed doors. Like, it's kind of, I mean, it's a snitch thing to do, to be an ex-player and air out all of Jeremy Pruitt and Mark Richt's alleged dirty laundry. David Pollock's been retired from football for more than a decade.
And I want to get everybody's opinion on this. 865-546-8200. But I don't understand it. Okay, here's the thing. I get that they're giving their personal opinion on this. But then you also throw in the fact that you've got Aaron Murray, who worked for CBS Sports. You got the SEC on CBS. You've got Greg McElroy, who's coming out and saying that pretty much that Tennessee doesn't have a shot in hell at beating Florida this upcoming season. Well, Greg McElroy is going to be calling games for Tennessee and maybe get the Tennessee-Florida game. You never know, because he's on the ESPN crew now. If you're going to make these statements at SEC Media Days on Radio Row, and you want your voice, nobody's heard from Aaron Murray in a year, okay? Nobody's heard from David Pollock since the football season ended. And I think David Pollock is a good guy. I've met him a couple times.
He's always seemed like a solid dude.
I like him. I do. But I just didn't get, if you're going to come out and say something like this and talk about your coaches, and we're about to move on from this because there's more stuff to talk about in SEC Media Days. But what I'm saying is that if you're going to come out and throw a coach underneath the bus, throw some context into it.
Right.
I know you know the context, but let the people know what it is,
right,
if you're just going to go out there and start slinging
you
mud.
You can't just like make accusations like that without having some ground to work with. And I'm sure like he thinks people are assuming he does have one as an ex-player and a defensive player
does.
More
he
than
probably
anything.
He probably knows
so.
Stories.
But, I mean, David Pollock wasn't even playing at Georgia at the time.
That'd be like me coming out and saying, okay, this is what went on at Tennessee underneath Butch Jones. Butch Jones was a bad guy, blah, blah, blah. Okay, Trey, give me examples.
Right.
And then I not give you any examples at all.
Right.
I just say, oh, I knew he was a bad guy. I knew he wasn't the right coach
for
Tennessee.
And what's the point? Like, what is he like hoping to gain from this?
Because it's
obviously attention, because we're talking about it right now, and Tennessee fans are all riled up.
If he was wanting attention, like, why else would we bring up David?
It's not really riled up. It's more or less as a journalist.
Yeah.
Sack up, bro.
Oh, you're saying you as a journalist, because I'm talking about the fan base.
Well, me as a journalist, I'm saying give it some context to it as
right.
Fans.
But I'm saying as the fan base, like the Tennessee fan base is going to be. Look, the Tennessee fan base is bloodthirsty either way. David Pollock is giving them plenty of ammunition to work with right now.
I mean, God, Walmart was at Tennessee last night. So, I mean, I get it, but.
Walmart was at Houston last night more than anybody.
Look, man, Target is great. And I shop at Walmart grocery as well. So
Walmart's a desperation move for me either way.
It is what it is. We're going to take a phone call and then we're going to start talking about Jeremy Pruitt up on stage today, what he had to say. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you are up.
Thanks, Travis.
What's up, buddy? What's on your mind?
Hey, first things first, Hudson Mason, Aaron Murray, neither one of them in the league. You know, they're coming off of the other side of the ball, for one. And two, if you go back and look, someone come out with it earlier, but they went back, and anybody who had ever said anything about Jeremy Pruitt that played ball for him has never said one bad thing about the guy. Now, there's nothing wrong with the guy. He's hard-handed and wants to be an in-your-face coach. Matter of fact, it might turn out to be a better thing this year. We'll kind of wait and see. As far as David Pollock goes, I mean, good Lord, dude. That was clearly he was had the Georgia glasses on when he was talking today and whatever. You can only say so much because Tennessee did go 0-8 last year in the conference, you know, 4-8 overall. But it was almost like Jeremy Pruitt's the worst thing that's ever walked across that stage when he was talking.
I appreciate the phone call, and I understand where you're coming from in a sense of Tennessee fans. I get where you'd be mad. I get it because they're attacking your head coach. My biggest thing is, as somebody in the media, is that just give context to it. So,
and they're both coming out as we played at Georgia. You know, that's our factual backing of this situation is we know because we played at Georgia. Georgia's Tennessee's rival.
Right.
It's not like, you know, I went to Tennessee. I hate Georgia.
Right.
I hate Florida. I hate Alabama. I'm going to be professional and not write that. I'm not going to write Nick Saban is the devil. I'm not going to say Felipe Franks is a horrible quarterback because I don't like Florida, but I do have personal ties and bias. You think a guy who actually played on the team doesn't have that?
No, I agree. I agree 100%. We'll catch a break here. Here's a quote on the way out. I hope you guys enjoy it. Larry Fedora today at ACC Media Days, North Carolina's head coach. Our game is under attack. I fear that the game will be pushed so far from what we know that we won't recognize it in 10 years from now. And if it does, our country will go down too. This is It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. Uptown New York City, some Spanish girls love me like I'm out with daughter. Tell Uncle Luke I'm out in Miami too. Clubbing hard, f***ing women, ain't much to do. It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. Watching right now, Jeremy Pruitt is on SEC Network with Marcus Spears. Can't quite hear anything because we're on with here. But getting some nice press time. I thought he did good at his press conference today.
He did about what we expected him to do, right? Gave a lot of football guy answers, didn't reveal too much. But, I mean, what he said should have the fan base optimistic. Especially some of the things that, you know, the big questions out there, J.J. Peterson's status, Trey Smith's status.
So he says J.J. Peterson will be here by August. He's confident J.J. Peterson will be here by August.
The whole math issue.
I'm not going to get
into it. Math class or...
I was horrible at math, too, so it is what it is.
I'm not making fun of him at all. Math sucks.
Yeah, it's horrible. And then Trey Smith said he'd be ready to go by fall.
Okay. And?
Okay, so he must have been cleared by UT doctors. But Jeremy Pruitt did say... no, he didn't comment on the contact part. So we'll leave it at that. How about that? We'll just leave it at that.
He didn't say whether he'd be in full pads or anything once he does get to fall practice.
Right, but he didn't comment, according to people that were there, on the contact part. So we'll just leave it at that. I hope he's back in for Tennessee.
He's Tennessee's best player, without a doubt.
Let me tell you something.
Right now.
If Trey Smith comes back and you throw Drew Richmond on that line, you throw Brandon Kennedy on that line.
Okay.
You get Chance Hall back in condition to play this season. I think there's another win. That's adding another win right there. I think that's literally possibly 8 wins.
So you're saying Trey Smith adds that one win that they would have without him.
Because they don't.
Just one, though.
They don't have to fill in spots. You see what I'm saying? So I already think they can win 7.
Which is something that they've had to do the last 2 or 3 seasons.
Right. So
every
year. They wouldn't have to.
Let's put an offensive guard at center. Let's put an offensive tackle at center.
Exactly. They wouldn't have to do that. So that adds in the guys playing their positions they're comfortable with. Running game would be better.
Right.
Passing game, you'll have protection for more than 1.5 seconds. And it gives Jared Garantano the opportunity, or Keller Chris, to throw the ball downfield.
Yeah, I think excluding Trey, Drew Richmond's huge this year.
He's got to be.
He has to be huge. He has to live up to the expectations that he came in with.
Right. So what stood out to you from Pruitt's opening remarks or press conference period? What we all know the difference between Butch and Jeremy, but to you, kind of what stood out?
Specifically what he said? More relating to the position battles that we've been discussing, whether it's going to be Jarrett Garantano or Keller Christ. He's saying all 4 quarterbacks have a chance, which, I mean, what's he going to say? Like, Will McBride doesn't have a shot of starting, or your boy JT doesn't have a shot of starting, like, even though he's a true freshman? No, of course, right. He's going to, you know, leave it open. But more so than that, though, that he plans on looking for 4 to 6 guys to fill the running back platoon this season. Like, it's not like Ty Chandler is going to be the primary back specifically, or anybody else. It's that he wants to use at least 4 to 6 players, which, you know, coming from Alabama and Georgia, having that luxury of several 4 or 5-star running backs per year, of course. But I do think Tennessee has talent at the running back position to do that.
I love the fact that he came out and said Nick Saban's not going to give him any advice. He's a head coach now.
He also said he could write a book on Nick Saban, too, based on the 8 years he's been with him.
So. The question was asked, how would you assess your quarterback roster with the guys you have in the addition of Keller Chris? Jeremy Pruitt said, we have 2 young men Jared and Will that were here in the spring. They'll have 15 practices underneath their belt. We had Keller coming from Stanford who has played football there and has experience, and we're adding another guy. We'll give those guys opportunities in fall camp. So we'll give all four guys opportunities in fall camp to go at it, and then they want to make a decision quick on who they run with, probably at the 1-2 spot, who's going to be one, who can be QB1, could be two, and then go on from there. I still think we see two quarterbacks at the West Virginia game, and I could see two quarterbacks possibly.
It depends on how that game UTEP. Plays out. I think it depends on how it plays out. If it's either a blowout in favor of Tennessee, then definitely give both guys the reps. If it's just Tennessee's fallen behind early, then give the second string quarterback some time. But I think it's really going to matter. If it's a close game where both teams are in it until the fourth quarter, I don't see them going back and forth. Maybe, play one guy early, play the other guy for the second rep, and then see what you have from that point. But I don't see it going flip-flop.
If you needed a game-winning drive, two-minute drill, fourth quarter, based on what you know now, who would you go with as your quarterback?
Oh, gosh.
See, I don't know anything about Killer Crist, except for that he played somewhere else and has experience. And I know Garantano showed flashes of potential, and he also struggled because he was playing behind a struggling line. He was thrown into the fire, and I think that's going to benefit him this year. I think he's going to get those kinks out of the way. He's gotten those kinks out of the way now.
Yeah.
But I don't know much about Keller Crist because I didn't watch Stanford like I watched Tennessee football.
865-546-8200, the McKinney hotline.
But to answer your question, I'm going with Garantano. Fair. We all know my Italian bias, so fair. I'm going with Garantano either way.
Yeah. I think also you take a look at the situation that Tennessee has themselves in where they have experience at the running back spot.
Right.
The offensive line has experience, and then you're kind of stacked at the wide receiver position.
Would you think stacked for sure?
On the first line.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I think I'm just forgetting the fact that Juwan and Marquez Callaway weren't there for most of the season. So I'm just thinking of the wide receiver play last year. And still that PTSD of watching.
You're going to have Juwan on one side.
I have PTSD of watching Garantano against South Carolina. That's why I was going Keller Crist.
Well, that wasn't fun either. But you've got Callaway on one side. You've got Jennings on the other. You throw Palmer in the slot. You throw Brandon Johnson. I mean, Tennessee could go four wide.
And us and LSU.
Oh, my God. Ed Orgeron saying they're going to go four wide a lot this year. Go get a quarterback first before you can go four wide,
right,
at Orgeron. Look, guys, I'd like to show you what's on SEC Network right now. It is your Heisman.
Our boy, Drew Locke, baby.
Your Heisman candidate.
Look at that hair.
Drew Locke. That is some beautiful hair. If there's one quarterback.
That is the look of a Heisman Trophy
just start
winner,
clearing
I'll tell you
off,
right now.
Clearing off some mantle space right now, Drew Locke.
I think I see Dooley in a disguise. Behind him. No, I'm just kidding. Dooley's not there.
The gold pants would give him away.
Yeah, that's true. No, so look, overall takeaway from today, my opinion, you don't have somebody that's just going to go up there and put up marketing slogans.
Right. Thank God.
You don't have somebody. What did Paul Feinbaum call Butch Jones? A
used car salesman?
Carney Barker.
Yeah, he's exactly like a
pathetic. Carney Barker.
Right. I don't want to ride your Ferris wheel, Butch. I mean, come on.
You don't want to go on Butch Jones's wild ride?
Yeah, I don't need any hot dogs. I don't need a Coke. I don't want to play your game. Get out.
It's crazy to me that, I get it, but Feinbaum's just sitting there just blowing Butch out of the water, and he's at...
That's because he had to sit through...
He's at Alabama.
A certain Tennessee reporter telling him how great Butch Jones was every single week.
Well, that's true. We're not going there. But I think, look.
Former Tennessee reporter, sorry.
Yeah, currently writes for Georgia. So, Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt, I don't think they – look, Tennessee fans don't have anything to worry about Jeremy Pruitt spitting off at the mouth and it's going to embarrass their team during the week with slogans and headlines and
right.
Stupid cliches.
At the worst, it's going to be like, ironically, he says something like really – old school country and people blow it out of proportion, but it's not like he's going to say brick by brick.
Right. You've got yourself a down-home Alabama football coach.
Right.
In a sense of he's not here for all the mess.
Right.
He is here to be somebody that's going to guide this football team. I look at their 2020 class, and I think, okay, that's where they make a statement.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Tennessee's got to get 7 wins next
year.
It was a salvage
class this year. Like, he had 2 months to work on the job, and he did pretty well considering the factors.
He did well, but, I mean, I don't know how many five-star hearts we got this year.
Energy
vampires.
Lyle's gone,
any bricks. Right. I mean, I could go all day.
You got a bunch of good bricks this year.
The thing is, it reminds me kind of, like, the way the fan base is looking at him is a little bit how they looked at Dooley coming off of Kiffin, because they had that California guy who chose to go back to California because it was his dream job, and the good old Southern boy was the replacement. The difference here is it's not some legendary coach's spoiled brat son. It's a guy who's proven to be one of the best defensive coordinators.
Are we like LSU fans right now?
Question.
Wait, what?
Trey has a breaking news kind of question here.
What about LSU?
I would like for you to look up our producer, Luke Pruitt. Is that Coach Jeremy Pruitt's son?
A kid who's a prospect?
No. His name is Luke Pruitt.
Well, who is he that you're saying?
I'm asking, is it Coach Pruitt's son? Because if so, he just put David Pollock in his place.
Oh, I thought you were saying this is some recruit.
You've got your computer. Mine's at the Geek Squad. Luke Pruitt. I think it is, actually.
It's some teacher.
Well, come on.
Well, is it just at Luke Pruitt?
No, it's at Coach _ Luke Pruitt. Let's go to the phone lines right now while Jason does his investigating right now. And we got Matt on the line. What's up, Matt? How are you, buddy?
Hey, guys. I'm doing good. How are you guys?
I am just living the dream today, looking up and seeing this is actually Coach Pruitt's son. What's going on with you, brother? Talk to us.
Well, I'll tell you, man, it's just a breath of fresh air to not have all the stupid words and eye discipline and all the crap we've had to hear for 4 years at today's press conference. And I agree with you a minute ago. I'll tell you, if all these guys are back on the offensive line with Richmond and Smith, I don't see how in the world we don't beat Florida early in the season. That's a pretty good offensive line coming back.
I agree. I think that's one thing that stands out with Tennessee that's going to be different from last year, and that is that if you can get these pieces put back together with the offensive line, Matt, it's one thing this team's been lacking the last 2 years, 3 years. They've been just piecing together parts of the puzzle in that offensive line, and when they continue to do that, you're not getting any substantial every-game type reps with a unit that's going to be out there. So I think that's a huge plus for Tennessee. I think that will only benefit their running game. And I think that also it sets up where you've got time in the pocket for the quarterback to make plays. Matt, give me your impressions on Jeremy Pruitt today from Media Days. How do you feel? Are you excited? That's a big question.
I am. Yeah, I'm really excited, guys. I mean, I'm not like, 9-10 win excited Tennessee football, but I feel like for the first time in a long time, well, I'd say probably since Butch's first year, I was fired up for Butch. I'm not going to sit here and act like I wasn't. And I bought into all his, brick by brick speech and all the change. I was in on it. But 2 years in, I saw the writing on the wall. So I'd say for at least 3 years now, I've been just beat up on Tennessee football. So I like the guy. I like the fact that the guy gets up there and calls the fans out for the orange and white game. That takes a lot of guts, man. He calls us out in a respectful way, though. It's like, come on, Tennessee fans, you're better than that.
Right. It's refreshing. And it's different than Butch Jones doing it kind of trying to beat around the bush and do it and say it in a subtle way.
Right, exactly. Hey, real quick, guys, on this guy from Georgia, what's the guy's name, the cat?
Which one, David Pollock?
No, not David.
Aaron Murray,
the
quarterback?
Aaron Murray, yeah. It's one thing to sit there and say Tennessee's not going to beat Florida and that they're going to be abysmal this year, because that's almost, you could make an argument there. That's just an opinion that's kind of based on some fact off of last year. But you start bringing up some dirty laundry from coaches and start airing stuff like that, man. I don't know. That's just that's getting in deep. I mean, that's I don't understand why in the world that they let this cat do that. And I don't know which one of you guys mentioned, but is he going to be on the panel for SEC Saturdays?
So David Pollock is usually, he travels with College Game Day.
Murray's with CBS.
Murray's with CBS. Pollock travels.
Murray's on CBS.
Yeah.
But Murray's not going to be flying into town, is he?
No, he'll be covering the games on the CBS Sports Network between Tulane and Louisiana Tech.
All right, guys. Good stuff.
Man, I appreciate you calling in, brother. I hope you have a wonderful day. And okay. Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun. All right, so you're an Alabama native. Yes, what do you know about Pisgah? Or am I saying that wrong? P-I-S-G-A-H. It's a high school.
Oh, Pisgah High School.
That's where Luke Pruitt coaches. He's the brother of Jeremy Pruitt.
So,
how old do you think Jeremy Pruitt is that you think this guy would be his son?
I just didn't look at the picture.
Yeah,
I didn't look at his header.
He's definitely the younger brother.
Didn't check out his picture, but he did tweet that, hey, Pollock needs to fact check his sources. Rick offered him the DC job in Miami.
Well, I just mean the fact that he's a coach. Like, Jeremy Pruitt's not that old that he'd have a son who is a coach anywhere.
I think that's fantastic. Let's go to break on that. Luke Pruitt tells David Pollock, check his sources. Man, today's getting off the walls, and I love it. There's Nick Saban. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville. Track money, Benny. Got me in my feelings. Gotta be real with it. Yeah. Nick Saban's opening statement. SEC Media Days. Good summer. Football starting. Developing careers on and off the field. Also says they'll play Louisville and Orlando in week one. Saban called it a home opener.
Everything's a home opener when you're Alabama.
It's a home opener at the College Football Hall of Fame as well. People rolling in.
I mean, Atlanta legitimately is their second home at this point. So Orlando, I don't get.
Actually, Auburn.
No, a few Alabama friends in Orlando, but I wouldn't call it their third home.
I would call it more Auburn's home. But it is what it is, right? I mean, somebody tweeted 10-minute speech and not a single cliche. Oh,
for Jeremy Pruitt?
Yeah.
That's what I was saying about the LSU thing. They love him because Ed Orgeron talks like they do. I'm saying, are we falling into the trap?
Oh, I get what you're saying. Well, that's what I'm saying. That was the one thing that people got excited about Dooley for, other than that he was Vince Dooley's son, was, well, he talks like us.
Exactly.
Like, okay, but he can't coach.
That's what I was saying.
Which he proved eventually over time, but.
And then the guy talking on the phone about like how he liked Pruitt getting on to UT fans for not showing up. It's like, dude, the reason you are the coach is because UT fans care.
Right.
So like, don't worry about that.
That's true. Yeah.
It's like
we'd have Greg Schiano right now. Yeah. It's like that was the other. If it was otherwise,
Jeremy Pruitt's like my stepdad with UT football. It's like you got to take me to go to some baseball games and take me to get ice cream before.
Yeah,
I call
you dad.
Yeah,
you don't just win us over.
Yeah,
like that, buddy.
You know,
right. Hey, man, look, it was a good job today. He did good. Eli Wolf, Marquez Callaway, Kyle Phillips represented Tennessee well today.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Wolf, they were talking
not
about
a surprise.
Talking about a story that Jeremy Pruitt walked in the, I guess Smokey's is the catering place for the students.
It is, yeah.
He walked in.
It's one of the UC dining halls.
He thought he was some kind of manager or something along those lines. And
they thought who was?
Eli Wolf. He thought Eli Wolf was like a student manager.
Oh.
So I thought that was funny. Then asked him, and he said, yeah, I can block in the SEC. So he had to put some weight on, man. He did. So it's been it's going good.
Also, Marquez Callaway's hair was fantastic. Belongs in a museum.
Marquez Callaway's hair?
Yeah, if you see a picture of it, it is. I don't know how he pulled that off. I mean, I wish I could, but I don't think I've got the right type of hair to pull that.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think it's look, Marquez Callaway, I'm excited to watch him play this year. He's going to be a go-getter on the outside. If y'all want to call in, I'd love to talk, but right after we have this next guest on, David Cloninger, we're going to talk South Carolina football here for just a second. Then we're going to open the next hour and 10 minutes up to SEC Media Day talk, everything Tennessee. Everything Florida, I don't care, whatever y'all want to talk about. We're going to open it up. Second hour, Christopher Gabriel's coming on from 940 ESPN Fresno. Good buddy, Tennessee guy on the West Coast trying to talk sports talk in Pac-12, and it's tough on him, man. So I wanted to get him on and let him kind of put it out there. For his sake. They put under Nick Saban it there. Never lost to assistant coach in basketball. That's the header underneath Nick Saban's name at SEC Media Days. never lost to an assistant basketball coach in basketball. Native of Monograph, West Virginia.
What is with them in these cute little captions that they keep doing? Why are they trying to be so cute with everything?
I don't get it. But right now, we're talking South Carolina football for a minute. David Cloninger, how are you, David? It's good to have you on the show, buddy.
Not too bad. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So just right off the bat, going into this upcoming season, how big a deal was it for South Carolina and for Will Muschamp for this season? When you have Jake Bentley back there as quarterback, and then you have Deebo Samuel come back on the outside to kind of give them staple points, how big was that just for an overall aspect of him continuing to try to have success in Columbia?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, you always want to have returning guys to really give your team some stability. And right now on offense, that's what USC has. Yes, they did lose a first-round draft pick in tight end Hayden Hurst, but they do have a lot of guys who have played alongside and under Hayden the past couple of years to take his place. And really the only other spots that they filled in were on the offensive line, where you're not breaking in anybody new. It's just taking a guy who's already played one position and putting him into a new position. So having that stability back on offense, it's kind of one less thing to worry about. Of course, when you do have a new offensive coordinator, you do have to work that in as well, and that's where the focus is going to be for South Carolina this fall.
David, we've seen Jake Bentley mature right before our eyes. He came in as a 17-year-old true freshman and took over the starting job. How important has that been, getting that 3 years of playing time experience, and what are his chances of being a contender for SEC Offensive Player of the Year?
Well, it's big. He's just got to continue to develop. I mean, as much as he's played, it's kind of easy to forget sometimes that he's only played 20 games and that he's actually a year behind where he should be at this point because he skipped his senior year of high school. He's done some good things. There's times where he's been great, but he really needs to be more consistent in the quote-unquote big games. The Georges, the Clemsons, the bowl games. He just needs to be a little more consistent and do what he can do. As much as he's won, as much as he's had some success lately, he also threw 7 interceptions over his last 4 games last year. And you just don't want to see that kind of a backtracking when you have a quarterback who's been in a lot of big situations before. So hopefully the move to a new up-tempo offense will favor him and enable him to calm down a little quicker when games get started, because he's had kind of a problem with a happy feet in the first quarter of games.
When you look at this South Carolina team, what are a few things that the Gamecocks can enhance on this year to really make a run at Georgia? Because that game in the second week of the season, and I've said it before, I've been to many South Carolina-Georgia games at William Bryce Stadium. It is an electric atmosphere. But for South Carolina to be able to pull off that upset against Georgia, what are a few things they have to get better at this season compared to last? And you kind of just mentioned it too, is not throwing so many interceptions.
Yeah, and mostly it's just being more consistent on offense. South Carolina won 9 games last year, and that hasn't been done a whole lot around here, but they kind of won 9 games in spite of their offense. A lot of times they were just kind of hanging on by their fingernails to win some of these games with the last defensive stop. Well, now you've lost a lot of defensive talent up front. You've lost 3 starters in your secondary, so you're going to have that offense come out and say, listen, while you new guys get used to the defense and kind of get worked into the routine, we'll take care of you. We're going to score more points so you don't have to worry about it. So as long as they can match any opponent point for point, they can keep this run going and try to get that 9 wins into 10 or 11, because right now everybody's talking about that week 2 game against Georgia. And, I'm not going to say that should South Carolina win it, they're automatically going to be in Atlanta the first week of December. But I will say that whoever wins that game has got a big step toward winning the East and representing that division in Atlanta the first week of December.
It's safe to say Deebo Samuel has lived up to the lofty expectations he came into his college career with. Where does he rank among the SEC's best receivers, and where do you see him as far as being an NFL draft prospect potentially next year?
I definitely think he's the top all-purpose man in the league just because of his skill at returning kicks. When you talk about straight wide receiver potential, I would put him in that same group with the guys that they have at Ole Miss, along with A.J. Brown, that kind of thing. I think he's definitely in one of those top 5 categories. But in terms of living up to his potential more and being an NFL pick, he's just got to stay healthy. You know, he had numerous hamstring issues when he first enrolled that would keep him out for games at a time. He had a rib issue, and then, of course, last year he scored 6 touchdowns in 3 games and then breaks his leg, so he's out for the season. He's just got to stay healthy, and unfortunately, you know, there's not a real good way that you can do that outside of avoiding contact, which it's not really been contact that's been his problem. It's just kind of suffering a bad injury at a really inopportune time. So if as long as he stays on the field, they're going to throw the ball to him. It's just he's got to be on the field.
Sticking with the passing attack, replacing Hayden Hurst, who are some of the guys who could step up in his absence this year?
Well, Jacob August was his top backup last year, and Jacob's a kid that's been around for 5 years now. Big, you know, strong kid. No, he's not going to be as fast as Hayden was, but he knows how to pass block, and he's really got a great pair of hands. You're not going to lose a lot in terms of just a pass catcher from that standpoint. Then you have K.C. Crosby behind him, who's just a really strong athlete, but like Deebo Samuel, he's also a guy that has gone through the injury carousel and hasn't been able to stay on the field. And then you have Evan Henson, who I don't know how much you guys follow SEC basketball, but he spent the last 12 games of last basketball season starting at power forward for Frank Martin's team. So he's a guy that the two sports stand out, and a guy that really hasn't been able to make an impact on the football field because Hayden Hurst was there. Now he's going to get his chance. So there's going to be a lot of options. Can all of them produce what Hayden said, what Hayden did? We'll just have to see. But none of them got that hairstyle, I can guarantee you that.
Tell me, okay, let's dig a little bit into Jake Bentley here and what he's going to have, especially helping him out here in the running game. Is this an offense where he's going to have to come out and throw the ball 30 to 35 times for them to be able to kind of spread things out and set up the run? Or do you think that they rely on that run game to set up Jake Bentley? He's such a weapon for South Carolina. How do you think they end up really using him this year and his talent?
Well, there's no question that they want to have a good run game because they've just been very inconsistent with that over the past year, over the past 2 or 3 years, and a lot of that is injury. You know, their most talented running back is Rico Dowdle. He's a kid that's a true junior coming into this year. He's had 3 surgeries in 3 years. Then you have Tyson Williams, who is thought to be a really big-time running back coming after transferring from North Carolina. He kind of hit the wall midway through last year and just didn't play very well the last half of the season. And then A.J. Turner, a guy who's going to give you everything he has and do very well. He's the team's leading returning rusher, but he's also kind of small and maybe not equipped to handle an everyday pounding. So they have the guys to do it. They just have to make sure that when they try to hit that cherished balance between run and pass that Will Muschamp wants, that they can turn to the pass if they have to. This new up-tempo attack that Brian McClendon is installing, everything said that Jake loves it and likes to play that way. But he's still got to go out there and complete the passes, and he's still got to find some semblance of a running game because we all know you can't just sit back there and try to pass because you're just going to allow a jailbreak on the QB.
South Carolina was in the middle of the SEC in pretty much every defensive category. What are some of the expectations in year 3 under Will Muschamp, given his pedigree on defense?
Well, that's the thing. You're never going to worry about the defense under Will Muschamp. He's going to find a way to make whoever he has competitive. If there's injuries, if there's a scheme that's not working, he's not going to be stubborn and stick to one system because he's going to find a way to make it work. Now, they've got to replace a lot of pieces. I mentioned before they lost 3 starters in the secondary, and you don't just get replacements for those guys right away. You have to have time to kind of get them in there and see what they can do. And then they did lose a couple of guys up front, and not to mention, you know, one of the most prolific linebackers in the history of the school in Sky Moore. That's a guy who, playing at middle linebacker, got 14 career interceptions. You're not going to find another player like that. So they've got answers just like they do on offense, but they've got to find how they all fit in. But that's what Will Muschamp does on defense. He's going to find a way to make those guys competitive.
David, overall, this upcoming season, I know we're sitting here in the middle of July, but fall camp's around the corner. That Georgia game's going to be a huge one to kind of set up the whole rest of the year. Kind of give me your overall take on the Gamecocks. You think they can make a run at Atlanta and what you expect from this ball club?
Oh, sure, I think they can. I mean, if they win that Week 2 game, everything is going to be set up in front of them. And then even when they face their old bugaboo, which is Kentucky, they lost to them 4 years in a row. If they can just win that game, they can do what they can and try to get back to Atlanta. But it's going to take a lot more than that. I mean, despite the Georgia game would be huge, but it is only the second week. They've got to stay healthy. They do have to survive a trip to a dangerous Florida team and a dangerous Ole Miss team who's really playing with nothing to lose. So if everything breaks right, yeah, I could see them playing in Atlanta. But right now I kind of look at South Carolina as an 8-win, maybe a 9-win team and play in a pretty nice bowl game. That's just kind of what the program has been lately. I think that's what they expect. And looking at the 9 wins last year's, fellas, a lot of those came down to one play at the end. And USC hit on every one of them. That's going to turn around sometime, and I'm thinking it's going to be this year.
David, we appreciate you joining us. Please tell everybody how they can follow your work and follow you on Twitter.
Sure. Just check us out at postingcourier.com and follow me at DCPNC on Twitter. We'll have you covered with Will Muschamp tomorrow and throughout preseason camp.
David, thank you for joining. I look forward to seeing you during football season.
Not a problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Great interview with David talking South Carolina football. Okay, Nick Saban has I know my producer's yelling at me to take a break, and I'm going to take a break, but just give me a second. Nick Saban tells Dennis Dodd that he has no idea if Jalen Hurts will be on the roster for the opener, but expects him to be. I'm sure Dennis set that question up really nice to get that type of answer from, I can't predict the future type deal. Nick Saban comes back. Opening of the press conference. I guess you'll ask about the quarterback controversy. The controversy he's talking about the media, created.
Nick, fake news Saban, huh?
We'll talk about this and more on the other side of the break. This is It's Optional on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Gotta do what I gotta do. All my exes live in Texas like I'm George Strait.
It's Optional on Fox Sports Knoxville. Just listening to Nick Saban at the podium. If you want to call in, you want to talk about Tennessee's SEC Media Day today, 865-546-8200 on the McKinley Hotline. Would love to get your opinion on what you thought of Jeremy Pruitt, how things are playing out, his approach to all the press conferences today, and kind of just what he had to say in general as we listen to the leader of the SEC, Nick Saban, up at the podium. I don't know what to say about Nick Saban and his great quotes, but he's just... he's fantastic.
He did give us one tidbit of information, though.
Yeah.
Linebacker Keith Holcomb will not be playing football his senior year. He'll focus on baseball instead, which is a hit because Alabama has had numerous injuries at the linebacker position, and they need all the depth that they can get at this point.
I'm gonna go further in depth. Almost time we get. Yeah, I'm going to go further in depth a little bit on that thing I was talking about. Jalen Hurts opening day.
Right.
Saban asked if Jalen would be on the roster opening day. He said he expects him to be there. Both are capable. We'll create a role for both of those guys on our team, and they will have to make a decision based on what the outcome is on their future at Alabama. Says he doesn't want to minimize his chances to potentially be the starter and hopes he stays to graduate regardless. Wait a minute. Says he doesn't want to minimize his chances to potentially be the starter and hopes he stays to graduate regardless.
Yeah, he wants his backup quarterback to be there so he doesn't have to go to his third string quarterback. No kidding.
Yeah, you want the best players that you can to be on your team, so obviously he wants him there.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not saying
you don't agree. I'm just saying, yeah. Like, what would anybody expect
exactly.
him to say?
I'm just kind of trying to break down that comment. Look, Nick Saban, Jeremy Pruitt is one of the best coaches we have had on our staff. I think he'll do an excellent job at Tennessee. So Saban throwing out some nice praise to former defensive coordinator Jeremy Pruitt.
He also said Jim McElwain was a good coach, though. So.
I agree. Interesting day. I don't know what to say. I'm also tired of seeing David Pollack go back and forth with people on Twitter. Kind of over it.
Yeah, he really needs to just let it go.
Yeah, you got to chill. Chill, man! I didn't... Yeah, that one kind of Rubs me. As I drop my phone, I'll probably break it right there. So in the next hour, Christopher Gabriel's going to come on. We're going to talk Tennessee football. We're going to talk Jeremy Pruitt. We're going to talk West Coast viewing of SEC games and how all that goes down. Then we'll take your phone calls. We'll take all your comments on Twitter and Facebook and email and wherever you want to get to us, and we'll break it all down. But anything that stands out to you early from today, Jason, when it comes to media days? Coach Joe Moorhead was there this morning. Nick Fitzgerald was there. And that's one quarterback I'm excited to watch this year, is Nick Fitzgerald.
No, he's definitely going to be one of the better quarterbacks in the conference. Really kind of what I expected it to be. Like everybody's
not
saying that.
Much.
Yeah, everybody's saying Jeremy Pruitt took a businessman approach to his first press conference, and I wouldn't expect anything less from him. He seems like an old school football guy from Alabama. It's not like he's going to give these used car salesmen quotes to bring false optimism to the program. It's not like he's going to focus on moral victories or, you know, stupid catchphrases. He's going to focus on football and take everything seriously. If that rubs people the wrong way, so be it. But I'm excited. Again, the one thing I could say is cautiously optimistic based on the last few coaching hires, but yeah. I'm excited to some extent.
Looking forward to getting more context, too, on Trey Smith and J.J. Peterson at Tennessee. Nick Saban says, again, going off that, we'll create a role for one or both of those guys on our team. So if both of them want to stay, they'll create a role. We're going to catch you on the other side. Christopher Gabriel, join us. We'll talk more about Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi State, Missouri. This is It's Optional on Fox Sports Knoxville.